And so nice to see all of you, and welcome to Calvary Chapel. This morning, it gives me special joy to introduce to you our guest speaker this morning, Pastor Mark Baumer. He's here with his wife, Linda, and they have been coming here. Guitar is going. All right, they've been coming here faithfully year after year for the last 16 years, faithfully ministering to us, and especially to myself and Evelyn. For that, we are always grateful. He's a senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Melbourne in Florida. Not Australia, Melbourne or Florida. Strange. It is found in US. But every week they minister to a group of people, well over 10,000 people, with satellite churches and prison ministries. And I just cannot figure how he can find time to come here and talk to us. But they come here every year, sometimes twice, and for that we are thankful too. So this morning he's coming here to bring us God's word from Luke chapter 10. The topic will be the value and impact of one on mission. I hope you take notes.
Morning. Let me mention these three companies. Singapore Airlines. Anybody here ever hear of Singapore Airlines? Mount Elizabeth Hospital. Anybody here of Mount Elizabeth Hospital? Okay. And I know this one's strange to you. Probably only the younger people have heard of this. Starbucks. Well, as an organization, why does Singapore Airlines, Mount Elizabeth Hospital, and Starbucks, why do they exist? What's their whole role? Well, it's put in a little statement called a mission statement. Let me read you the mission statement from Singapore Airlines. Singapore Airlines is a global company dedicated to providing air transportation services of the highest quality and to the maximizing return for the benefit of its shareholders and employees. I just want to fly safe and easy, but that's what they say. Mount Elizabeth, what's the whole goal there? To make a difference in people's lives through excellent patient care. Starbucks, to make money. No, that's not what their thing says. To inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, one neighborhood, at a time. Well, what about the church? Why do we exist? Why in the world we meet here today? If you will, let's turn to Luke 19, and we'll see that actually Jesus defines the mission statement for the church. It doesn't matter what country, this is the Christian church. It doesn't matter what time, it has never, ever changed. And here, simply, it is. Luke 19:10. And I'll read it in the New Living Translation. Here's what it says. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So, the mission statement of Jesus is in that one specific verse. Now, at that point, of course, he was talking to his disciples. And he was trying to say to them, here's what's going to happen, and here's why I've come. Later on, he would establish the church, which got started, as you know, on the day of Pentecost. At this point, he was just training his disciples. Now, let's put on the over what that looks like as we... John, I'm going to turn that light off here. Where do I do that? There it is. Good. Here you go. We'll break it down for you. What do we do? Jesus said we have to seek. So see, that's a part that you and I play in order to find, to go after. We can't expect as Christians, we just walk out the door and people say, well, where were you today? Well, we're at church. Well, I don't know about church. What's happening with church? Now, once in a while, you'll find somebody like that, but pretty rare. Number two, Jesus said this. Who do we seek? Well, lost people. How many lost people? You know, we have about 7.5 billion people in our world. How many lost people? Only God really knows that. Number three, why do we seek the lost? To present Christ to them, to save. So they're not separated from God forever. Eternal separation. That's why Jesus came. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Now, we know as we walk through that, if we work for Singapore Airlines or Mount Elizabeth Hospital, Starbucks, we would understand that mission. No doubt there was training sessions. When you signed up at Singapore Airlines, they just didn't put a little set of wings on you and say, have a nice day, and just have a nice job. No, they trained you. Well, in Luke 15, if you'll turn there, this is Jesus, and this would be like they just signed up. He's giving them a training session into the mission of Jesus. Now, for you and I today, this is exactly the same. We're his disciples. Remember, we came, Matthew 28, to seek and save the lost, so then we can make them disciples, and the disciples go and change the world. Now, if you scoot on down to verse 4, Jesus says it like this. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So what is Jesus saying to us? Lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to God. And he's trying to say to his disciples, every single person matters because they're made in the image of God. So since lost people matter to God, and I'm one of his disciples, lost people have to matter to me. Well, if they matter to me, what does that involve? It involves staying on mission that Jesus assigned us to be on. Now, here's what I want you to see next. One sinner coming to repentance brings great joy, just one. Sometimes that's hard for us to understand. At home, when we're back at home in August, we're going to start a series. It's actually going to be a whole year long, but we'll just work it in because basically I just finished the book of Daniel, and we're halfway through the book of Luke, and I'll use this in and out of the book of Luke as we do it verse by verse for the next year. But here's what our whole theme is for the next year. The value, and the impact of one person. The value. What is the value of one person? In what you just saw there, Jesus went after how many sheep? Tell me. Come on, talk to me this morning. Put up your finger. How many did he go after? One. Okay. So let me challenge you right now from the start. You probably never invite me back, but that's okay. Here we go. What would happen in this church if next year, in a year, you had a goal for Christ to bring one person to Jesus Christ? Of course, he has to lead us. He has to open the doors. We can't do that. But we'd have it on our mind. What would happen? What would happen if we brought one person came to Christ and I came back with my wife next year in July? What would happen in this room right here? You'd have to set up what? More chairs. Is it about chairs? No, it's about what? One person. One person. How valuable is one person? I don't have time to go into all this today, but Jesus told us. He says, it's invaluable. It's priceless. What did Jesus say? What can a man exchange for his soul? What was the answer? Nothing. Because see, every person you're looking at is going to live somewhere forever. Every single human being since the beginning of time. Every eyes that you look at today when you go out to lunch and you don't know the people, they're going to live in eternity with or without God. Well, sometimes we don't like to think about that. Well, that's not my job. That's the pastor's job. No, it's all of our jobs. So I want to challenge you as I go through. See, that is the mission of the church. It's people. It's not money. It's not chairs. It's not numbers, but it's people. So the value and the impact of one. As we go through it, hopefully it will challenge you a little bit as well. Now, when you think about it, how do you see the world this morning? 7.5 billion people. Can anybody understand that? I can't understand that, 7.5 billion. Let me give you a statistic that I came across recently, and it's very accurate. How many, last night, in India, the nation of India, you know, I've been there many times, it's close to us, 60,000 babies were born yesterday in India. Now start calculating that. 60,000 new souls were born yesterday just in India. If you multiply that by about 17 days, what do you have in 17 days from last night? You have 1 million new souls in just the nation of India. Well, that overwhelms us. You can't get your arms around that. Pastor Mark, are you kidding me? I don't live in India. What does that have to do with me? Well, it's to get you to understand the value of one. The value of one. See, if our husband or wife or son or daughter or in-law or closest friend comes to the Lord, how valuable is that to you? Wow, fantastic! Not to somebody else, because they're not close to them. But what Jesus is trying to tell us here is, if you go back to Jesus, understand what he says to us. And I have it for you on here to show you that value. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? So Jesus says this, a person's most valued possession is their soul, their spirit, the real person. It's priceless. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. And that is our privilege and our responsibility. Now, that goes on to the next slide, John, and this is the whole statement. Jesus has appointed every single one of us, as you think about this, to what? To go and make disciples. The value and the impact of simply one. The value. How much of the value? If we know the person, it's really valuable to us. But sometimes we don't know the person. But if you watch Jesus and his disciples, when the woman caught in adultery came to him, he didn't know her. Was valuable to him. He stopped and ministered to her. So in our passage, let's scoop back to Luke chapter 10, and we'll kind of walk through a little picture of what that looks like, of becoming a disciple of Christ. And it was a training session for his 72 disciples. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Now, something very interesting, if you write in your Bible, it'd be good to write this in your Bible. Who are these 72? Well, they're unknown Christians. They're not the 12 apostles. They're people just like you, and they're people just like me. They're not pastors, they're not teachers. They're not his 12 apostles at all. They're just average, ordinary Christians. See, that's where we get it wrong. You are just as important to God because of your gifting than any person. We're all equal. There's no such thing. We have different titles, but we're all super equal. And so Jesus picks what? 72 ordinary people just like you. And he's going to give them an assignment, and he's going to tell them the mission. He's going to tell them to go on it. Now, let me read to you a verse, John 20, 21. Just before Jesus went back, he says this, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." I am sending you. I want you to turn to your neighbor this morning and just say this, "I'm on a mission from Jesus." Come on, turn to your neighbor, tell him right now, I'm on a mission from Jesus. Come on, did you say it with like zip or like, "I'm on a mission for Jesus, I think." No, I'm on a mission for what? For Jesus. That's what he assigned them to do. So that's, if you forget everything else, that's who Jesus is talking to. You and me. Because every person is valuable. Now, as you think about that, what is Jesus saying? That means let's go back to the mission. What was the mission? If I'm on a mission for Jesus, Jesus has appointed every Christ follower. Who are you people? Christ followers. You're Christians. To seek and save the lost, we have to stay on mission. We forget mission. You know why we forget mission? Because we get busy with the things of the world. Now, we live in the world. So we have families, we have responsibilities, we have jobs, we have all these things that we do. And sometimes you say, well, a pastor, you don't have a job. You know, your job is just the church or whatever. Well, it's so good because most of us have worked in other places. I was a hospital pharmacy director for 25 years. I know what a 40-hour work week is. I know what a 60-hour work week is. I know what an 80-hour work week is. We're familiar with all of that. But see, that is not our main responsibility. Even on that job, our responsibility is what? To seek and look and ask God to direct us to people that are lost. That's why He places us in neighborhoods and jobs and responsibilities. It's not just to be a great employee. That is absolutely necessary. But there's a balance of understanding why God puts us in these places. So we have to stay on mission. And one of the things the church does poorly is to stay on mission. Well, I'm coming to church this week. You going? Yeah, I think I'll be there. Well, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to sing four songs and somebody's going to speak to us. And then we go out and have lunch. That's great, isn't it? We've missed the mission of the church. The mission of the church is lost people. Now, you're here. We have church to what? To build up the saints to do what? The mission of Jesus Christ. That's why you and I are here. It's the mission that we're learning so that we go and bring people to Christ. We seek them out. You see? But we become, I'm not just talking to you, by the way, you know, those thousands of people we have at home, we have the same problem. Why do you think we're getting ready to teach on this? Because God's spoken to us. And you have to understand the church can become kind of settled down and just kind of go through the motions, all of us, and we forget why in the world we're here. And as we go through this, I think it will help you. Now, Luke 10:2. The harvest is plentiful. This is important. But the workers are what? Say it with me. Are what? Few. So lots of lost people. Not so many Christians. We're called workers in case you didn't know it. So what do we do with that? Look what he says. Ask the Lord of the harvest, God, therefore to send out workers where? Into his field. What is his field? It's the world. It's where you work. It's where you live. It's what you do. That's the field. 7.5 billion people. That's our field. So Jesus says, this is interesting. Jesus says there are lots of people looking for answers, even though they don't seem to say that to us. Jesus clarifies the problem. Listen to me. It is not too few lost people. The problem is there are not enough Christ followers on mission. Some of you might even say this morning, man, when next time that Balmer guy comes, I'm definitely not coming to church. I don't need to be challenged. I'm doing just fine. Don't try to rattle my cage. Well, I came to rattle your cage. Because if you're not on mission, we're not doing what we were called to do. All of us. Now, too many people, myself included, are concerned only for ourselves. Our work, our money, our homes, our family, all of those things are important. Our hobbies, whatever those things are for you. A vacation, all those things are very important. God designed us. He gave us abundant life. But in that, there's an underlying mission. What if I have the most impressive business in all of Singapore? Wonderful. But how many lost people have we been challenged to bring? Just maybe one. And then all of a sudden it changes our attitude toward life. Now, in our world, there are people, Billy Graham calls it like this, people that are empty, lonely, guilty, and afraid of death. And they're looking for answers. But they don't even understand what they're looking for. They're just empty. And we see this all through our world. People who get to the highest of whatever, the company managers, the movie stars, all these people. Watch them. We just had the one prince just recently. On drugs. Ends up taking his life. Why? Known all over the world. Most popular person in music and many people's ideas anywhere. Has more money than you and I will ever even see, unless you work in a bank. And he kills himself. What was he doing? That's the people that we need to understand. It doesn't have to be the poorest person. It's the same way. They're lonely, guilty, and searching and afraid of death. That's what it is. So there's hurdles that keep us from being on mission. I'm going to go through them fast for you this morning, and I just want you to watch as we go through. Verse 3. So Jesus says this, and I'm saying this to you this morning. Look at his first word. Go! Don't just sit and say, nice sermon, Pastor Mark. It's a nice sermon. No, go. Look, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves.